And welcome back to the Tennessee Star Report, 7:33 a.m. We are delighted to welcome on our newsmaker line our very good friend, State Representative John Reagan, who is the chairman of the very powerful Government Operations Committee in the House of Representatives from Oak Ridge. Welcome, Representative Reagan.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be on. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, we always like having you on. And you've not been in studio yet, but come on in studio sometime because that gives us a little bit more time to get to know you and get to know the details that are important to you. Now, you were at the State of the State address on Monday night. That's quite a bit of pageantry and theater. What's that like to be there at the State of the State address?
Well, actually, the very first one I was attending was quite impressive, I'll be honest with you. This is like my 12th one, I think, or 11th one. It's more an exercise now in listening to what the governor's putting out and making sure that I understand it so that it fits with the programs we're going to be pushing forward. Little less impressive to me now, let's just say that.
Now, let me ask you this. So, yeah, you're focused on the policy because, you know, everything has to, I mean, a lot of key bills have to go through the committee you chair, the Government Operations Committee. Was there anything in the Governor Bill Lee's State of the State address Monday night, was there any policy proposal that surprised you, or was it pretty much what you thought would be coming down the pike?
No, I didn't get any real surprises out of it, to be honest with you. I was pleased in the sense that there was a little different emphasis in some areas than I was expecting. So in a sense, you might call that a surprise, but it wasn't complete from the standpoint I knew that something like that would be mentioned. The governor's approach, frankly, I just had a conversation with the governor in his office yesterday, and he and I have a great deal in common in terms of our passions for state government. Now, we have our differences, too.
Well, people with different views have to work together, don't they?
Exactly. That's the way government gets things done. Otherwise, you have complete gridlock.
Exactly. Now, it's a pretty big budget, $52 billion with a B. That's a lot of money. I noticed one thing on it, and we'll get to the elements that were in it. One thing that caught my attention, you know, the state of Tennessee is one of the best fiscally managed states in the country. And our all-star panelist in studio, Crom Carmichael, has always said that's a tribute to the work of the Tennessee General Assembly. I agree with him on that. We've got this huge budget surplus right now. I did not see any proposal there to cut taxes, either sales taxes or the gas taxes. Did that catch your attention as well? And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you are correct. I didn't see any proposals there either to cut taxes. Now, having said that, I and several of my colleagues are carrying bills to do just that. I am aware of, and I am supporting, as a matter of fact, one of my colleagues with a bill to completely eliminate the professional privilege tax. We started doing that session before last. We got about half of them, and we're going to try to go after the other half this year, and I think we're going to be successful on that. I personally have a bill to eliminate taxes on precious metals that are purchased for collectible or, shall we say, IRA purposes.
Right, like gold, silver, that sort of thing.
Right now, the state does not charge a tax for someone to buy a gold coin and, you know, put that in their retirement account or their hedge fund or whatever, you know, the rainy day issue. But we do charge them a tax for just buying a gold bar.
I did not know that.
Yes. Well, my bill would eliminate that. You know, it's going to be the same for everybody if this bill passes. So, yes, the governor didn't mention cutting taxes, but those of us here in the legislature are aware of that and are, in fact, tackling that issue. Now, as far as the fuel tax, which really, I think a more correct term for that, the Department of Transportation uses, is user fee, because that issue right now is predicated on the fact that we keep the roads up from that. That's fenced off and not used in our general fund. It's completely devoted to the roads.
Yeah, and we were talking with State Representative Jerry Sexton earlier today about that, and although it does appear, at least anecdotally, that we've seen a lot of road work done since that gas tax was passed, even before, I want to ask you a little bit This is very confusing to me, and I wonder if you could help kind of eliminate a bit of that confusion. So as part of the governor's plan, he's proposed a couple things, an updated version of what's called the Basic Education Program and a $750 million increase in K-12 education funding. Tell our listeners what the Basic Education Program currently is and what your understanding of what the governor is proposing to do to change that is.
The Basic Education Program is a very complicated formula by which we allocate money to school districts. And it's complicated in part, and no small part, as a matter of fact, because the courts have been involved with it, stirring the pot with bits and pieces here and there that we must adhere to. That said, it's an attempt to get state money because our state constitution requires us to afford an education to our citizens. And it's an attempt to get money to the local education authorities, otherwise known as school boards, to be able to pay for educating those students. Now, the reality is that the state money is only a part of what goes to those schools because while they cannot decrease it, they are free to add to it.
Locally.
Districts do.
Locally, yeah.
Yes. However, that complicates that BEP issue. And the reason the governor specifically talked about adding things for teacher salaries is we have been in the past, and I have said this myself because it's based on that formula we're talking about, saying we're giving the teachers a 3% raise. Well, that was a true statement based on the teachers that we fund out of that BEP. But districts that have hired extra teachers get that money, and they say, well, it's not fair just to give the teachers that are in this formula the raise and not give the others. They have the authority at the local level to, as long as they're staying within that accounting budget item, you know, the number that covers teacher salaries, teachers' benefits, number of teachers, et cetera. There's a number of things in that same accounting code. As long as they stay within that, they can spread that money around as they choose by state law. So when we say we're giving the teachers a pay raise, we really mean it, but it has to be within the confines of that formula. The local education authority can, in fact, redistribute that within the accounting codes as they see fit.
Now, let me ask you this question. I'm looking at the performance of our K-12 public education here in Tennessee, and what it looks to me like reading, writing, and arithmetic proficiency at every level has declined precipitously across the board for about 5 years. That's what it looks like to me. If that's the case, do we have the right system? Is this system working or is it failing?
Okay, the straightforward answer to your question is it's failing, but not totally. When I was first elected back in 2010, I came down here with one of my campaign positions to improve our education system. At that time, Tennessee was ranked 49th out of 50 in our state. We clawed our way up to 35th, which is not a position to brag about, but the movement certainly is. And at that point, we began to plateau, if that's the right word, and we weren't going backward. But with the advent of COVID, you are correct. We declined precipitously. Now, in relation to other states, that data is still out there to be looked at. But I sit on every education committee in the House except one. And I will tell you, education is a passion of mine and has been since I've been down here. I am really totally disappointed in that number that you talked about there, and we won't call the numbers, but the work that has been done on this has pointed very squarely to the third grade reading competencies. That issue is something we have tackled. We passed a bill during our first extraordinary session last year. When we got that federal money, the first thing we did was dump it into the literacy program. We are devoting state money to that because if a child doesn't learn to read by the end of the third grade on grade level, their academic career is hampered forevermore after that.
Speak, Representative John Reagan, Crom Carmichael has a question for you. He's in studio with us.
Chairman, very, very quick question. In Davidson County, charter schools are becoming more prolific, and the results in the charter schools, especially in the lower grades, is much, much better than in the government-run schools. Is there anything, what do you think the prospects are for increasing charter schools?
Well, we have put a path in place to do that. Now, just so we're clear, a charter school and a state school board or a local education authority, they're both public schools.
I know, but...
It's in the governance.
Yes.
A charter school is governed by an entity that is not beholden to the election process. They are contracted. And the local education authority has an input as to whether or not they get approved or not. So a charter school is just a different way of running the school. What you pointed out with your question is that charter schools seem to have a better system of governance that, in terms of impacting student performance. And as a, at the state level, again, we do not want to interfere with the local control of that. But at the state level, we want to encourage them to start focusing more and more on student outcomes.
And on that note, State Representative John Reagan, thanks so much for joining us. Come back again. Come in studio, if you would, and have a great session up there today on the Capitol.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate being able to talk with you.
All right. That's our good friend, State Representative John Reagan. Very knowledgeable guy, would you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, talking to Republicans is what they're trying to accomplish is refreshing.
We'll be back with more. This is the Tennessee Star Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.